Good evening, folks, and you're all very welcome along to Grange, where we are here live in Grange Car Park, just as Mona McSharry is pulling in to be welcomed home back to Sligo. The Olympic bronze medalist has just arrived in Grange Car Park, landing down in her Skoda, of course. What a crowd we have out here in the car park to welcome our Olympic medalist home. Fantastic evening for it as well. The sun is absolutely splitting the stones here in Grange, and a massive crowd, a massive turnout to welcome Mona. She's leaning out the window there with the Irish flag and her bronze medal around her neck. Listen to that crowd roaring to welcome Mona home. Proceedings will be getting underway very shortly.
As Mona gets out of her 241 sponsored Skoda car,
it's the one and only bronze Olympic medalist winner, Mona McSharry!
And we'll hand you over now to our MC for tonight, Austin O'Callaghan, and first, Niall Canning.
Okay, can we give a big round of applause to the Sligo Concert Band? Mona's after whispering one thing. She can't hear ye. It's Mona McSharry! And what does she have with her? An Olympic medal! Who is it? It's Mona McSharry! Mona, you are very welcome to North Sligo, you small little girl from a small region in Sligo. We are delighted to have you. It's Mona McSharry! Okay, could we call up three real important people in our lives? Okay, Marek, where are you, Marek? Come on up, give Marek a big boulabus. Another important person in our life, Roisin, give a big boulabus to Roisin. And Oren, is Oren there? A big boulabus to Oren! He's coming. And the woman that was behind a lot of Mona's success, it is the one and only Grace Mead! And here's Oren. Well done, Oren. Better late than ever. Well done. Brilliant. And the man that done it all with Mona. Put her to the swimming pool, drove her to the swimming pool, cooked dodgy dinners. It's the one, the only, Grandad McSharry! And tonight's event is live. We are live on Ocean FM, and we thank all the team on Ocean FM for covering such a spectacular Olympics for us. The coverage that they gave Mona and the other three Sligo Olympians, brilliant. But the man that's behind it, the man that does so much work for our lovely, lovely region, it is Austin O'Callaghan!
Thank you. Niall, thank you very much. Could somebody give that man some oxygen before he hyperventilates, please? Good evening, Grange. And wouldn't you know it, when Mona McSharry comes home with her Olympic bronze medal, the sun comes out in Ireland. That's the large orange ball in the sky. For those of you in North Sligo who have not seen it for the past 2 months, let's bring Mona out. Mona McSharry, welcome home. And your young fans here at the front of the lorry here in the main car park in Grange, as the sun continues to shine, want to get a touch of you. They want to touch your foot or the medal or the trainer. That will come in a few moments. But Mona, welcome home. A penny for your thoughts right now.
Can't even put it to words, honestly. You know, it's just so nice to see all the support. I can't even, I'm trying to fully take it in right now. And it's just amazing to see all the faces, all the people that have come out here to celebrate. Like, it's just great.
Has it sunk in for you? Have you digested it now at this stage? It's been a month, more or less. What has life been like for you in the past 4 weeks?
It's been crazy. I think it's so hard to really fully digest it. It's been something that I've been training for such a long time, but to actually then do it and it be over is kind of weird. But you know, I'm definitely taking moments to try and kind of sit back and watch and look back over things and remind myself that it actually did happen rather than just kind of fall back into the usual day to day, you know. It's been an unbelievable month. I mean, just the support, the congratulations, the well done from everybody reaching out has been great.
What have you been doing since Paris, since the homecoming? Have you had a chance to rest, to settle down, to be by yourself?
Yeah, I strategically had a little vacation back to Tennessee just to see my dog and spend some time with friends that I hadn't seen all summer and, you know, just relax a little bit before coming back here. And that was really nice just to, I think, mentally and physically recover after the games, because it's a long build up and it's a long 2 weeks. So it was nice to just wind down for a little bit.
Yeah, just to have a bit of space.
Yeah, definitely. Just, you know, recuperate a little bit and then be ready to go, come home and just be all excited about all this great stuff.
Do you feel a different person now?
I don't think so. You know, I'm feel like I'm the same person, just achieved a really big goal that I was dreaming for a long time. But I don't think it changes me. You know, it just it just proves to me that all the hard work and all the dedication, you know, and it really did pay off, and that I can do something like that, and you know, all the time, and it is worth it, and to be able to progress, and it's just so nice to be able to look back at everything I've done. And I have done a bit of that, like reflecting on back when I trained in Ballyshannon or was doing the community games, and you know, it seems like a lifetime ago, but they were the stepping stones to getting here. So
well, Clifney Grange Community Games are here tonight. We can see lots of them. All these girls are telling us in Borough that I'm in the community games, she's in the community games, you're in the community games. Well, now you know, here's the bar, boys and girls. Here is the bar, boys and girls. And we're live on Ocean FM on the radio right now for people who can't be here tonight in Grange but wanted to be here. And what a perfect summer's evening. And I'm going to call it a summer's evening. Can I take you back to the start of the games, Mona? Because one thing in my line of work, we notice we get out all the Olympic Games supplements. You're in a bubble away getting in your pre-games training camp. And we looked at all the medal prospects for Ireland, and they mentioned Reese McLenaghan and Paul O'Donovan and Daniel Whiffen and Rashida Adeleke. Not many of them mentioned Mona McSharry as one of our best medal prospects. And we're kind of looking at it and going, that wouldn't bother you, but it was kind of interesting. They weren't championing you as a medal prospect. Were you aware of that at all?
I don't think I was fully aware of it. You know, I would have heard a lot about Daniel, and he like is so confident in his abilities, and that's so impressive. And I probably wouldn't do the same. Like, it's funny because in my mind, for years, and especially the last year, like I've been talking about it and thinking about it daily, like I'm going to win a medal, I'm going to win a medal, I'm going to win, I'm going to win. And so in my mind, it was always a preparation. And so as long as I'm focused on that, I don't really mind what everyone else is thinking, you know. So I think that was just, I was focusing on what I needed to do.
The chanting is going to start shortly, I think. The one magical moment for you is that you were the first Ireland medal winner at the Paris 2024 Games. And I'm sure you got a sense of it from mum and dad at home and your friends at home. You kick-started a great party in Ireland because it was almost like a breathe out. The place went a bit mad.
Yeah, I heard it a couple of times, the phrase that I don't really know what's going on back home. You know, like you think you really understand, but we're in such a bubble that we don't really, you know, I wasn't really on social media, so I wasn't seeing anything of what was going on back here. But to be a part of a group of people that have been the most successful at the Olympics, and then to be the one that was able to kickstart it all is great, you know. And it's so exciting to even just be one of those athletes, and you know, even getting to meet the other medal winners. Like it's a great experience, and it, you know, I couldn't have asked for anything more.
And what was the reaction like when you went back to the Olympic Village, the athletes' village, that night with the medal around your neck and being greeted by your teammates from Ireland as you came back with a piece of silverware?
Well, I got back to the village at about 2 o'clock in the morning, so
nobody's up.
No, very few people up. And I, to be fair to the staff on the swim team, like they all stayed up with me, and I was able to have dinner. Could you call it dinner at 2 o'clock in the morning? I don't know, but so I wasn't alone, which was really nice. But you know, I started to bump into a lot of Irish athletes the next day, then the following morning, and all of them said well done, were coming up behind me and saying congratulations. So you know, it was just great. I think going as part of a smaller country and such a connected team, you know, you are invested in everybody's like races, everyone's events, whatever they're doing, you're kind of watching it and you're keeping track. So that is definitely really nice to be a part of that. We're a really close-knit community, and that's something that I love about being a part of the Irish team.
You showed lovely emotion on the night of the medal and around these Olympic Games. And it was natural emotion. I'm wondering what was going through your head when you were on the podium listening. Okay, it was the South African anthem, but I mean, it was your night as well, as much as anybody else, as an Olympic medal winner. What were the thoughts crystallising in your head that night?
I think that moment was when it started to set in a little bit, because before that, like, you know, you get out of the water and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe this has just happened. And then you get moved through media and they're asked, how do you feel? And I'm like, I don't know how I feel. This is crazy. And then you're straight to like the podium prep area and you're getting ready. Does my hair look good? Am I like, oh, and then, you know, when you get onto the podium, that's the first minute that you're really taking it all in. And yeah, this, when the South African anthem started playing, I lost it, started crying. I couldn't believe it. They had this really nice tune that they played for all of the medal winners ceremonies, and when we even went to other events and other nights, every time I heard it I was brought right back there, which was really nice, to that moment on the podium. But no, it was just unbelievable experience. I think that was a great time to just kind of take it all in, like look around, watch the Irish flag raising, just all of it.
Yeah. And while we were still basking in the euphoria, you were in the 200 metres, and we saw that competitive streak kick out in you again when you were unhappy with yourself that you didn't make a second Olympic final. We were still basking in the glow of the 100, and here is you being hard on yourself again in the mix zone after an Olympic semi-final.
Yeah, it's tough, because obviously once I'd won the medal, I was kind of like, right, we need to park that, we're not done yet. Like, we've got a 200 and then we've also got the relay. And I was really excited about the 200. It's a newer event for me, but I like have been training really well in that event, and so kind of expected to do quite well in it myself, and was expecting more than what I did. And so even though I had that medal, in the moment I wasn't thinking about the 100 breaststroke medal. I was just thinking about the fact that I hadn't made a final, hadn't progressed, maybe haven't gone as fast as I wanted to in the 200.
Where do you keep your Olympic medal, Mona? Is it in the sock drawer at home, or is it on the mantelpiece proudly displayed in the family living room?
It's funny, actually, I've just been kind of leaving it laying around places. Like, even in Tennessee, I think I left it sitting on my dresser on my desk, and one of my friends came into my room and was like, why do you have that just sitting there? Like, why is it just sitting there? I'm like, I don't know. It's just there. I don't know what I'll do with it long term. I'll probably, you know, I'll have to sit it up somewhere and have it placed somewhere nicely so I can look at it and remind myself, you know, about all the hard work and then, you know, what came from it. But no, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Have you been in the pool since Paris?
Yeah, I actually have. I've been in twice, but really only to float around in the outside pool, just to enjoy the sun. And Tennessee is quite nice, so can swim outside.
You didn't get a dip in Strida yet, did you?
No, I'm excited to get into the sea, though. I'm going to try and get as much of it in as possible.
Well, I know you're going to have a switch off now. You're going to have downtime, have some Mona time, whatever that might be. What is your plan right now? How does Mona McSharry switch off from elite competitive swimming?
it's definitely going to be a lot of traveling, a lot of doing things that, you know, I don't really have as much time to do maybe, or just can't do during, you know, a training season. A lot of hiking and just going exploring, maybe go on a day trip, spend time with my dog. Going to do a 2.5 month road trip with Roisin in America, and we're renting a van, so that's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm definitely excited for that, just to kind of have a plan but not really have a plan for 2.5 months, so it'll be nice.
Okay, so you're going to go off grid for a spell, are you?
No, I'll be posting stuff. I'll make everyone a bit jealous of where we are. No, it'll be good. Definitely off grid as an athlete, I guess. I'll just be Mona for a while.
Have you more study to do in Tennessee? Are you doing a master's?
Yeah, I'll be starting my 1 year master's in January, so done with school December 2025.
Because you'll know what my next question is going to be. In Paris, in the mix zone after the individual or the women's relay, you did indicate this is most likely my last Olympic Games, and I know you're tired of addressing this question. Part of us are hoping that you will go bungee jumping in Vietnam and just do all the things that you want to do, and then in 18 months' time you'll be sitting on a beach somewhere and the competitive juices of Mona Mashari might kick in again. Can you see that happening?
That's definitely a possibility. It's going to... Yeah, I don't know. It's funny, like, 2-3 years ago, it's definitely not doing the next Olympics. I'm going to be done right after 2024. And then coming up to 2024, I'm like, I don't know, maybe I'll do one more year. And then I was like, yeah, I'll definitely do to 2025. And so I don't know, but it's definitely going to be a much more chill 2 years, and then we'll see if I'm still swimming at that point. We'll see if we want to go for another two committed years, and then who knows.
You look, yeah. Every answer is getting a round of applause here, and why not indeed. But you look very contented now. You know, at least sports people are sometimes very hard on themselves. Have you congratulated yourself?
Yeah, I guess maybe. I don't know if I have actually really sat down and said, good job, Mona. But I think just by taking a break and allowing myself to recover and maybe enjoy some of the other things I like to do over the next 4 months will be me going, look, good job. You've been committed and very dedicated for the last 12 years or so, and now you get to just relax and enjoy.
And it was last week your birthday. Mona Mashari turned 24 7 days ago, ladies and gentlemen. Would Grange like to sing happy birthday? Happy birthday to you. In harmony and everything. Happy birthday, Mona. Belated greetings. I want to bring in your coach in just a moment, but the reason I'm mentioning your birthday is that you're 24 now, so this is my last question about Los Angeles in 2028, I promise, but you'll be 27 in LA, and Tatiana Smith, who won gold in your final, was 27 4 weeks ago. So just think about it. That's all I'm saying. Let's bring in the lady who has morning, noon and night for so many years along the pool, walked up and down the poolside of Marlins Swimming Club in Ballyshannon, not looking for attention, and she, believe me, she does not seek the attention. Her dad was an All-Ireland winning Gaelic footballer for Galway back in the 60s, so there's talent and success in the coaching house as well as in the swimmer's house. Please welcome Grace Mead. Will you stay for a minute? Is that okay? Come on in here. Grace, I'm wondering, all those years ago in Marlins, or whatever swimming pool it might have been, or whatever training session it might have been, was there a moment when you saw this young Sligo teenager in the pool and you said, yeah, there's something special here? Was there a light bulb moment when she was at Marlins in her younger years?
Yeah, you could see her attitude, as I said, was incredible. You know, her dedication and her willingness to complete the sets perfect. She did everything that was asked of her from a very, very young age. And she obviously was very talented. But when you have that attitude and to go with it, and it's, you know, it's all those ingredients together that, you know, brought her to where she is today.
I'm sure the two of you set goals throughout your career, winning world junior titles and all different competitions that you enter. But I'm wondering, is there a sheet of paper somewhere that says Olympic Games, Olympic final, next Olympic Games, Olympic medal? Does such a document exist?
Well, I don't know. Well, it definitely existed in our minds. It's something we sat down. I realised that, I suppose it was in 2016 when we were up at the trials in Dublin. And I'll never forget, Mona swam a fantastic race and she wasn't happy. She was actually in tears after the race. And I couldn't understand why, but she was so disappointed she missed out in the qualifying time for Rio. And that was, I suppose, what you'd like to call the light bulb moment for me, thinking, oh my God, this kid is really, really determined to get to the Olympics. So we kind of sat down then and we kind of, I like to do it step by step. We focused on the juniors, European and world juniors first. And then we always knew that 2020 would be the Olympics we would go to for experience. And she would train in Ballyshannon with Marlins till then. And then get a program that would bring her to 2024 where she would be on the podium.
And Mona, like, this was your coach in Marlins up until you went to Tennessee. You've kept in close contact throughout those years. I mean, why have you kept in such close contact with Grace? I mean that in the right way, but I mean, a word on what she has done for your swimming career.
Everything, I would say. I don't know if I would have made it, honestly, without Grace. Like, I remember first sitting down, kind of when we decided that I needed a little bit more than what the club was providing, and Grace said that she was going to commit to that, and kind of from that moment on, we just started building, like, a really strong relationship. And I would say, like now, like, you're one of my best friends, and so that's why we have stayed in really good contact. Like, I love to, like, bounce ideas off her and just chat to her about life stuff and swimming stuff, and it's just, like, it's great to be able to kind of have that. And she knows me the best and she knows my swimming the best, and so that's always really helpful.
A partnership that has worked so well, clearly. And Grace, you've enjoyed this journey with her, which isn't over yet, we'd like to think, but you have enjoyed it.
Absolutely. It's something, I could never have imagined it at all. And to be honest, it's been the years that we were together training, and even to see her develop in Tennessee, it's unreal. I really, you know, I've really, really enjoyed the journey with her. We've had a lot of ups and downs. There's no buts about it. It's not an easy road. You know, there's plenty of bumps along the way, but the support we have and the respect we have for each other is incredible. And as Mona says, we're best good mates now. We bounce everything off each other, not just swimming stuff, other stuff as well. And it's good.
The other stuff is important too. Grace Mead, thank you very much for being with us here tonight in Grange. Grace's coach, Mona, thank you. Now, Niall mentioned three people who are also seated on the stage here at the start of the evening. If you missed that on radio, I'm going to introduce them to you now. And there may be people here in Grange Car Park who are wondering, who are the other three people sitting here? Well, one of them is Mona's brother, Morak McSharry. Morak is a pretty good swimmer himself. And alongside him, Roisin Maguire and Audron O'Hara. And I'm going to invite the three of them to join me here for just a couple of moments, because they swam morning in, afternoon out during their school-going days in Marlin Swimming Club. And they became kind of a quartet when it came to doing extra swimming in their teenage years with Marlin Swimming Club. They'd do a few extra hours in the pool. And we're going to have a quick chat with Mona's swimming buddies from her teenage years. Would you please welcome Audron, Morag and Roisin. How are you, folks? So, Morag, just tell me about how this little quartet evolved in the early years of Mona's swimming journey.
Well, I guess we all met through the club, and then we were just looking for a bit more training, so we said we'd do them extra evenings after school on the Monday, Wednesday and Thursday.
It started from there. But you were all pals, were you?
Yeah, me and Odin were in the same year, so we would have been friends growing up as well from the club. And Roisin would have been good friends at Mona, so I guess that's how the group came together. And then for relays and competition as well, it worked well for club relays.
And Roisin, you were a year ahead of Mona, I think, in school in Coloch de Colum Kill in Ballyshannon. Did you spot early on that this girl was pretty special?
Yeah, I suppose every training session she came to was 100% put in. She never came in and was like, oh, I don't feel like doing however many hundreds or whatever. Every day she came in, she gave it 100%, and she didn't leave until it was finished and until everyone else had it finished as well. So yeah, just determined from the start.
Did you ever beat her in a dash up the Marlins pool?
At the very beginning, before she started, maybe her first week in Marlins, that was about it.
You can cling on to that now for the rest of your days. You can dine out on that early success. Audrey, what are your memories of those? Well, they were after school mainly, or were some of them early morning?
Mainly after school. A few mornings on a Friday and Saturday. But we had a great year in 2019 up until COVID. We were training very well, the four of us with Grace. We were doing savage sessions, really good training. And we were all in great condition. We were going to have a great summer, I think. All of us were going to like drop real good times. But then with COVID, the summer competitions were all finished. But that was a real great year for us. And then Mona, we had our celebrating party going away to Tennessee shortly after that. And then I suppose we never got to see the real fruit of the hardest of our work. But then obviously Mona took the spotlight then. And outshone us all, you know.
Very nice. And I'm wondering, guys, what it was like for ye last month. I don't know where ye were when you watched the Olympic 100 metres breaststroke final, but Roisin, what were you thinking like when you're seeing, you know, we saw the South Africa flag come up, the silver medal flag, and then Ireland McSharry bronze medal. I mean, what sort of sensations going through your mind as someone who trained with her for so many years in Ballyshannon?
I was actually lucky enough to be in the stadium at the time, and I remember going absolutely mental during the race, after the race, and then with all the family and friends behind the podium when she was getting presented with her medal. And it was surreal. There was tears, there was laughing, there was disbelief, and it was just an incredible experience.
It was you hugging and trying to rob Aidan McSharry's wig, was it, in the stadium? I remember that now. And Morag, as her sibling, you know, yourself and Luca have watched this up close and personal, and you would have trained and competed at a very high level. You must have been a very proud McSharry brother.
Oh, super proud. It was an amazing experience over there. Seeing her touch the wall, come up third, there's a heap of emotions. It was amazing, yeah.
Well, before she heads off on her camper van tour of the highways and byways of the United States, might she get together for one last quartet relay swim, do you think, before she heads away?
Maybe. We might head up to Ballyshannon and do a little training session. Remember the old days.
For old time's sake. Well, folks, congrats on the role that she played. Morag, Roisin and Oran, the relay team. Folks, thank you very much. I have three more special people to bring up in a moment before we finish. But Mona probably thinks she was the most interviewed Grange person during the Olympic Games in 2024 in Paris. The reality is she was not, because there was another McSharry who outshone her on radio, on television. What else, Paddy? TikTok? Instagram? Would you please welcome Mona McSharry's granddad, Paddy McSharry. And our thanks to Paddy's agent for allowing us speak to him tonight here in Grange this evening. You've had a fantastic month. Never mind Mona, you've had a great time.
I had a great time at home, minding all the stock and all the houses as well. Sometimes it was good, but I enjoyed it really. You know, we had a great time. The night of the final, it was great because I knew some of the camera crowd from RTE, like, you know, I'd be very friendly with John McMurrow and that, like, you know, so. Yeah, it was a great evening altogether.
Describe that emotion in your house in North Sligo, watching Mona's Olympic final. Was it emotional, or were you just enjoying every bit of it?
Not really. There was a hush until the race was over. And even after a few seconds until the captains came up. And then we all jumped up and shouted with joy. I think I stayed sitting for a little while in days. But no, we had a great time, really. And it was nice to have the RT crowd there as well, you know. So, and yourselves, like, you know, it was great, like, you know.
So what is it like being the proudest granddad in Ireland these days, Paddy? What's that like?
Well, I don't think I could answer that because pride doesn't come into me, because I'm so delighted to see all the people of Grange and the surrounding districts here this evening, you know. And I don't think of any individual pride, like, you know, so. But I am very proud of Mona, of course, and indeed all the rest of the grandchildren. And
does she let you wear the medal?
Not yet, but it might happen.
Well, listen, enjoy every minute of the celebrations. Paddy McSharry, it's great to have you here with us. So Grandad is here. And to finish, I'm going to leave the last word to Mona. Mona, I'm going to ask you to say a few words to your own people in a couple of moments. You can have a think about that. And while you're doing that, I'm going to invite the man with the best selection of tricolour wigs in Ireland. Certainly in Paris he did. We're going to invite the other family members of the McSharry clan. We've heard from Morak, but the other McSharry family members are Mona's sister Luca, her mum Viola, and her dad Aidan. Would you please welcome Luca, Viola, and Aidan McSharry. Well, Mum, have the feet touched the ground yet?
Yes, yeah, we're back down to earth now.
You can go back doing normal things again, can you?
Normal things, only you can't go shopping. Because
what happens when you go shopping?
The minute you're in the shop, somebody will come up and say congratulations, which is very nice, but makes the trip much longer.
So if we see a woman in an orange wig and sunglasses in Super Value, that's probably you. Okay. Aidan, you seem to enjoy yourself out there as you are a proud dad, and who wouldn't be when your daughter's winning Olympic bronze?
Yeah, no, it is a really special occasion for us to be there and watch her swim and do so well. I kind of knew what she was going to win, so it was really nice to be there and witness it, and yeah.
Well, I'm interested in this because there are probably mums and dads here in Grange or listening on the radio tonight who find it very hard to watch their son or their daughter in major competition. They can't look at the telly or on the sideline. They have to turn away. Ye seem to thrive on that environment, or am I mistaken?
We don't thrive, but we definitely watch it. But it's very nerve-wracking because you know that so much work has gone into it, and any little bit that goes wrong or is just not perfect on the day is maybe make or break it. So it's very hard to watch it, but of course we watch it. It's a nice, exciting, I think.
And nobody will know more than the family members, whether it's Luca or Mum and Dad or Morak, all that Mona has gone through since she was 2'6" to tonight, to be sitting in her home village with an Olympic medal around her shoulders. Does the final destination make it seem all worthwhile?
It was definitely all worthwhile. We didn't feel that it was a sacrifice or anything. You just take it step by step, like, you know, and you go to the next level. Like, you don't look at the overall picture and say, I'm going to land at the Olympics at some stage. Like, you go to the local competitions, to the national competitions, international junior. So it kind of builds up and you don't really feel it's a big sacrifice that you have to make. You know, as long as the children are happy, it's a good thing.
Aidan, as the here. As the parent, finally, of an Olympic athlete, but just of a sports person who's competing at a high level, you know, like, you've never struck me as pushy parents. You've been very supportive and there for her. I mean that, you know. Well, Mona, her eyebrows are raising. Okay, maybe the Olympic medalist has a different view. But, I mean, what words of advice would you have for parents of kids who are doing well in sport, you know, because with success comes pressure and expectation. What have you learned over this journey?
Well, I guess from the start, all we wanted was Mona to be able to swim. We went on holidays and she fell into the water twice. So we said, when we get you back home, it'll be just swimming lessons. And that's all we actually wanted all along. But and we never pushed her. Mona kind of just pushed herself. So, you know, we're just delighted. Like, she just has so much drive and she puts herself to so much. Well, she does so well, I guess. Yeah.
You'll have to support them, not through the high times as well as the low times, like, you know, and just maybe sometimes they need a gentle nudge in the right direction to keep going, but don't be pushy, yeah.
And just remind us again of how it started. She fell into the water on holidays in Germany or Austria?
Austria.
So describe that event, if you don't mind.
Well, I guess we stayed in the Alps there, and it was a lovely holiday place we stayed in, kind of wee cottage up the mountain. There was a big tub outside, and myself and Viola's father were there talking, and Luke Mona was beside us, and next minute I could see the wee feet sticking up, and there was actually ice on the top of this as well, and snow, so it was quite strange. We pulled her out, and we says, right, be careful, don't be doing that again. And then on that same holiday, she fell in, we were down by the lake, and she fell into this wee lake we were in as well. She was standing out, so I seen the wee blonde hair under the water. I says, Jesus, I better get this girl out of here. But she seemed perfectly, I pulled her out, and she was happy. She was actually smiling, I think, when I pulled her out, so so it's quite strange. So I says, right, it's swimming lessons now, we're going to get you, so.
And the swimming lessons worked, Fiola?
They worked, yeah. We went down to Mullaghmore. It was back in the good old times in the pierhead. No, sorry, in the beach hotel with Philippe, and that's where it all started.
Wonderful, wonderful. And Luca, as the younger sis, are you proud of Big Sis?
Definitely, very, very proud. Couldn't be happier. It's nice to see everyone here. It's exceptional.
Because you would have swam with her quite a lot in your youth, I'm guessing.
I would, yeah, a little bit. On the lower levels, because I was quite young compared to her at those ages. But yeah, I would be swimming with her.
Was she very contrary in the pool?
Oh, I wouldn't say that with her sitting over there now.
You get on well, though, don't you?
We do, definitely, definitely. I love my sister.
Well, it must have been a great pride seeing the medal, seeing the success.
Yeah, it's a lovely, to see the medal, to hold the medal, it's great. Like, how many people can say that? It's wonderful.
Sure. Right. Folks, it's great to have you here with us tonight. The McSharry family, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Luca.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks.
You stay here, stay on stage. You stay on stage.
Mona, I'm going to leave the last word to you in just a moment. Before we finish, you mentioned the community games. And Cliffney Grange Parish is the community games area for this area. And you'll see maroon shirts all over the car park here in Grange. Just to paint the picture for the listeners at home, as the light fades here, we have lovely Irish tricolours dotted out around the place. And we have people not just from Grange. I see very familiar other parts of Sligo and Donegal. And I see some Ballyshannon people here as well. Great to see the wider swimming community who are part of this Mona McSharry celebration as well. But the local community games group would like to make a special presentation to Mona for her community games contribution back in the day. And also, it was her birthday last week as well. So we're delighted to have Anne Taff from the Sligo Community Games Association, who is going to present a bouquet of flowers to Olympic bronze medalist Mona McSharry. Thank you, Anne. There's a photograph. You're going to turn to the cameras. Hold down the bouquet a little bit. Perfect. Hold down the bouquet a little bit lower just so the camera's brilliant. And we're just getting a couple of photographs. Wonderful. Anne, thank you very much for that contribution. And the community games going from strength to strength in North Sligo as well. So to finish, I'm going to invite Mona McSharry, your Olympic bronze medalist, to address the people of Grange. Come on out here, John. Come on.
Can I get too close?
I'll get pulled down off the stage if I go any closer. No, I just want to say, look, thank you to absolutely everyone. A big special thank you first to Roisin Morrick and Audrain. Like, I said it about Grace and I'll say it about them too, like I would not have continued to swim without them. Like the support that they gave me just so that I didn't have to do all the sessions by myself was just amazing. And then like going back to my parents who really started it all, and the support that they gave me throughout the years, like my mom driving me up and down, cooking all my meals, traveling with me for many, many long weekends to competitions where she'd be the one supporting me if I was happy or sad about whatever the result was. And so just, and giving me the light nudges when I needed them, you know, when I felt like maybe I didn't want to swim, maybe I wanted to do something else. And so like it just, and then that extends out into the community as well. Like you can't do it by yourself. Like the amount of people that are working in the background that help you, like the people that swim in the lanes beside me in Ballyshannon Pool, the people over in Tennessee that I train with now, like the people in the shop that say hello, everyone that has ever really contacted me or like said something to me has in some way supported me and helped me along my journey. And that's just like, that's what you need, like the support of a community. And that's what I feel from everyone here, which is just great. And I just want to say thank you for all of you coming out here tonight. Like it means so much that you're here just to support me, and I'm glad I was able to give you some excitement to watch over the last couple of weeks.
Once again, it's Monarch Shay! Okay, Mona was on about her Instagram and her Twitter and her social media. We're just going to get a North Sligo quick video and she's going to hopefully post it on her Instagram. So, what, 3, 2, 1? Well done, Mona! Ole, 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 ole! Okay, just a few things, okay? I suppose from every age group, one thing you've taught us is resilience. And we really mean that. The whole club, this event has been put on through the North Sligo Athletic Club since you've been away, Mona. Mona started her journey as a young athlete here in the back. We have got funding now. You've seen it documented. We've got funding for a new tartan track is going to be here in the next year that Aim McAndrew, Connor and his team are organising that in the background. So we're going to have a new tartan track for North Sligo! Okay, just quick thank yous. Quick, and I won't delay the Sligo concert band. Okay, can we give them a big boule of us? Okay, Kerry Heresy and all her talented group are going to come on stage afterwards for more Crack August Kjol. Give big boule of us for Kerry Heresy and her band. We've also two top people as well. We have Donal Gilroy and Marie Cassidy. Thank you for all your hard work. Big boule of us for the two politicians. Okay. North Sligo Agricultural Show, Patrick and Martin, Armada Association, Tidy Towns, Donlan, for all their support, all the banners, all the flags, all the scarves, the headbands, the trailers, the whole lot. Big boule of us for that group of people. As the chairman of the North Sligo Athletic Group, we have a massive club of nearly 400 members. We're going to have all ye signed up by tonight. You're going to be the next Christopher O'Donnell or Mona McSharry, and plus as well. But we have one person that has just worked immensely, and I don't mean to single out everyone because we are a great club and we have so many people that are doing great work. But there is one person that has done Trojan works, all right? It is the one, the only, Mary Gilmartin! I can have 3 cheers for Mary. Hip, hip! Hip, hip! Hip, hip! And she's after getting the highlights for you, Mona, just for tonight. She's after getting got rid of all the grey hairs. Once again, folks, it's the Olympic medal. It's the one, the only, Mona McSharry! Can we just make room just for the photographers, please, kids? You've been doing mighty, kids. You will get a chance to have pictures with them. Just make room for the photographers.
Well, there you have it, folks. What a night here in Grange Car Park. A big well done to Mona McSherry on that bronze medal and to Austin O'Callaghan and Niall Canning for emceeing such a fantastic event here to welcome Mona home tonight. I'm delighted now to be joined by the woman whose name you just heard there a couple of minutes ago, Mary Gilmartin. Mary, what a night it's been here in Grange.
It's been fantastic. It's great to see so many people out and celebrating Mona and all that she's achieved. It's brilliant.
We were here 2 weeks ago as well, Mary, when Chris O'Donnell was welcomed home as well in a similar kind of atmosphere. It's been a fantastic couple of weeks for Grange.
Absolutely. We're so privileged to have two talented athletes and that they've both come home to celebrate their success with us, which is fantastic.
What does it mean to the likes of North Sligo AC when you see the amount of effort that's gone into supporting local athletes like this, to see them performing on the biggest stage?
Well, it's just so rewarding and it's just great to get up every day and during the Olympics and actually know people that are taking part. And it's great for our children, you know, it encourages them, you know, to keep on trying whatever sport they're playing.
You got a big three cheers there yourself 2 minutes ago. Hope you're not feeling too embarrassed about it, but it certainly is really inspirational to see this kind of stuff.
It's fantastic, and we just live in a great community. North Sligo is a fantastic community, and there's no end of people who volunteer, whether it's with football, soccer, athletics, swimming, racquetball, Irish dancing, Kerry there with the music. It's unbelievable the amount of volunteers that are in North Sligo and all the work they do to really pass on all these things to our young people.
And when you see the likes of Mona McSherry coming home with an Olympics bronze medal around her neck this evening, it really kind of underlines what that hard work, how far these people can go.
Absolutely. Like Mona and Krista have shown that anything is possible if that's what you really want to do and you put in the effort. And I think, as Mona said as well, it's so important to have people to support you. You know, you really can't do it on your own, whether it's your club, your coaches, your friends, your family. That support means the world to them.
Well, Mary Gilmartin of North Sligo AC, thanks very much and well done on all your hard work in putting this together this evening.
Thank you.
Folks, that's just about our lot for this evening. A big well done to Mona McSherry on coming home with a bronze medal from the Olympic Games. For myself, Donal Ryan, from Austin O'Callaghan, who emceed such a fantastic event here this evening, and Niall Canning, and to everybody who put this event together, a big well done to you all too. That's all from us. Daniel Gallagher, I'll hand it back to you.
Ocean FM's Country Jamboree.